fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. And today we're going to continue to talk about some themes from St. Paul's letter to the Romans. If you didn't have a chance to tune into the program yesterday, and even into last week, I've been taking up some of the passages that the church gives us at Mass each day. During these days, the church is taking us through the book of Romans itself. So today is going to be from chapter 12, talking about spiritual gifts and the new way of life that we're being called into. But if you didn't have a chance to tune into yesterday's program, I encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. The programs are archived there. And I take a look at Romans chapter 5, which is the passage that we had yesterday in the commemoration of the All Souls Day. And chapter 5, Paul begins by making a very important point. You know, he talks about hope and what hope is, and he's got this just beautiful statement right at the beginning. Our hope does not disappoint us. We have a hope that cannot disappoint us. And that hope is, as he said, God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. So the new thing that God is doing in his Son, Jesus Christ, the new creation, God's plan is literally unfolding in each of the baptized right now. God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. This is why it's so important to be baptized. Baptism is not just a symbol or a sign. I mean, it is a symbol of a kind, but it's a sign that really produces what it signifies. That is, it does communicate to us real life. That's why Jesus said, unless you're born of water and the Spirit, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. And in baptism, the Holy Spirit is given to us and poured out into our hearts. And Paul said, there it is. That's the down payment. That's the promissory note that what Jesus Christ has declared about reality, what he's accomplished, what we see in Jesus through the eyes of faith, that he died on a cross, that he became one of us first, right? That he took on human flesh and he showed us the pathway to God. And not only did he show us the pathway to God, he made it possible for us to be able to live that life because he died for us. He shed his blood for us. And the shedding of that blood is what cleanses us, we talked about yesterday, and makes it possible for us to be able to draw near to God. The human problem is we're separated from God because of sin. The Son of God comes and takes on human flesh. And in Jesus' flesh, you have divine and human together. This is how much God wants to unite us with himself. He sends his Son, and that unity happens in the body of Jesus. He dies on our behalf. He sheds his blood. He conquers the power of sin and death and Satan and all of his plans and the powers of the world, the flesh and the devil, and enters and begins an entirely new existence for the human race, making it possible for us to pass from death to life and have an existence beyond death, not just continued movement in time, but the entering into eternity and sharing in the absolute glorious, eternal, divine power of Jesus Christ. That's why St. Peter would say, we become partakers of the divine nature. You know, Catholic theologians and others have called that divinization. That is, we, in the mystery of God's plan, we somehow take part, we participate in the very life of Jesus himself. And that's what salvation is, and sharing in that for all eternity. So, we're given a hope through the gift of the Holy Spirit that's been poured into our hearts. And it's not just an idea. Something has already changed in us. The new creation has begun in us. That thing that only Jesus can accomplish has begun in my life and in your life if you've been baptized into him. And so that's the basis of our hope. It's like Jesus has you know, given us an anchor really in our hearts, and that anchor we can hold on to, and he's going to bring us all the way home. It's the beginning of that new thing that's going to be perfected and completed when we die and pass from this life and enter into God's glory. So that hope, which is what? It's the confident expectation that the very things I'm talking about, the confident expectation in each human heart that has been baptized into Christ, that there's confidence in God, in the power of God. God is able. Not only is God able, God is willing, God desires to save us. And he desires to save you. That means you. Yes, you who have fallen short of God's glory, you who are troubled and struggle and fall and get discouraged and get beat up by the enemy or facing great trials and difficulties and disappointments and in many ways feeling as though you fall short. Friend, it's not your perfection under your own power and your own resources that's going to save you. By grace you have been saved through faith, Paul tells us. It's not our own doing. It's a gift from God. Salvation is possible because God gave his Son. That means hope is possible, that hope is real because Jesus has passed from death to life. And what we hope in is not just positive thinking. It's not just some kind of fantasy or something to build us up. It's a reality. We can see our hope through faith. What is that hope? It's Christ risen from the dead. It's Jesus Christ exalted at the right hand of the Father. It's the beginning of the new creation, begun in the indestructible life of the person of Jesus Christ. And we see that Jesus has the power now to give that life to every person he desires to give it to, every person who opens his or her heart to Jesus. Our confidence is in him. The battle has been won. The victory belongs to Jesus Christ. His heart is turned toward us. He's proven his love for us by shedding his blood on the cross. There should be no doubt about his love for us. And it's not based on your perfection. It's based on him, his heart. So that is the hope that the Holy Spirit births in every Christian's heart. And that hope now we see as the goal of our lives. It's the goal of my life. Pope Benedict, in his wonderful, I think it's encyclical, Spes Salve, talks about this hope that doesn't disappoint us. He says it's a trustworthy hope. He said it's trustworthy by virtue of which we can face our present, the present, even if it's arduous and difficult and it's full of disappointment. The present can be lived and accepted if it leads toward a goal. If we can be sure of this goal, and if this goal is great enough to justify the effort for the journey. It's an important thing to think about. All the trials and all the difficulties and all the disappointments I can handle in this world if I know my life has a purpose and a destiny, and I know it has a goal, I can see the goal. We can see that goal, friends, through faith and hope, as I was just describing earlier. The goal is Christ. The goal is participating in what belongs to him. And Christ risen and exalted at the right hand of the Father is real. It's happened. It's a fact. This is what the apostles declared and why they were so free to proclaim it even at the cost of their own life. They were no longer afraid of any of the trials and difficulties that this world could produce for them. This world didn't have a hold on them anymore because they knew where their life was headed. They weren't clinging to this life with great desperation as if it's all there is. They could see beyond this life in Christ through the Spirit the goal and the destiny of each of their own lives. And so, as Pope Benedict said here in this encyclical, that even if it's arduous, our experience of life here, even if it's filled with disappointment and struggle, he said, this life can be lived and accepted if we know that it leads toward this goal, that this goal is real, and that this goal is big enough to justify all of our effort. All we have to do, friends, is look at the saints to see what this looks like. Christian life, Christian hope, Christian faith lived with such power because they realized that the goal is worth whatever the journey costs, that the goal is so great and so precious and so awesome. And beyond what anyone could even conceive of is literally being offered to each and every one of us. So the saints by faith could see it, and they realized this is the pearl. This is the pearl of great price. This is the fulfillment of every longing of my heart. And I can see it in the distance. I can see Christ reigning in glory at the right hand of the Father, as the letter to the Hebrews says. We don't see everything at this moment in submission fully to Christ, but we know the victory's been won. Everything is being brought under submission to him. And he said, what we see is Jesus risen at the right hand of the Father in glory, reigning, and we see our destiny. We understand where our lives are headed. That is the difference maker. That's what hope does for us, friends. And so that goal is worth everything. It's worth dying for. It's worth selling everything that we have. And so that's what the apostles did. That's what the saints did. That's what they show us. And that's what each and every one of us is called to. That's wisdom. That's wisdom. Why? Because I don't spend my life in what the apostles would describe with things like this. They'd say, the empty futility of a darkened mind. Empty futility. What is it? What is Peter who says that, for example, referring to? And St. Paul makes comments like that. The futility is that I think my safety is hanging on to everything in this world, to desperately cling to and to pursue the possession of everything possible in this world, to live as if this is all there is. Peter, Paul, the saints all say the same thing. That is foolishness. That will lead to destruction. This world is passing away. Don't cling radically to this world, but in this world, live for the future kingdom. A down payment and a promissory note and a revelation of that kingdom has been given to you already. So follow that. Follow that revelation in your heart. Follow the work of the Spirit. Don't follow the flesh. The flesh is going to say, in its panic, in its fear, in its egoism, in its covetousness, whatever it is, it's going to say, cling to this world. Make sure you keep up with the Kardashians. Make sure you keep up with all the money, the drive, the power, the comfort. Make sure you pursue all the gold you can so you can have the biggest boat in the fleet, so you can have all the power over so many people. That's the flesh. And the apostles were tempted to that before they knew Christ, before Christ rose from the dead and power and glory. They saw glory for what it really is, an everlasting glory, which belongs to Christ. It's his possession. And they also saw, in light of the glory that's in Jesus, the fading, pathetic foolishness of this world. It's passing away. So in this world, to set our hearts on Christ, to set our hearts on that goal that is big enough, that justifies all the trial and suffering, you have to see the goal in order to walk the road of holiness, the narrow way. As Jesus said, the way that leads to destruction is wide and it's very easy to travel. It's the current of the culture. It's the current of the world that's always flowing. This, the dimension of the world, the powerful resistance to God that's present in the world that demands its own response. Lots of people follow it. But if you're going to go the narrow way, if you're going to go against the current, if you're going to walk upstream against the current, it's going to be difficult. Every single day on this earth is a trial and a battle. And that's the normal life for the Christian because we're walking in the footsteps of Jesus and the apostles. Look what they had to endure. The endurance, the trial, the death that needs to happen in this world, it's all worth it when you see the goal. Too many people who have been baptized don't know the goal. And so they give up along the way. And they end up drifting with the broader culture instead of seeing the precious goal that's set before us and knowing that there's a new power in me, the presence and power of the Spirit, that will give me the strength to be able to reach that goal. And it's worth fighting for. Friends, have a great day. God bless you.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'm delighted to be able to offer you my new booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message? At the heart of the new evangelization is a fresh proclamation of the gospel. But for many people, even many Catholics, they wonder, what is the message? What exactly is at the heart of that proclamation? In this simple booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message?, I take a look at and present in a very specific and simple way what is the core of what we're called to proclaim in this great and important missionary moment in the history of the Church. If you'd like a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.